Lately, I've been using a new product that I really like. It's called Superbeads. It's based on Nobel Prize winning research and the nitric oxide principle. Nitrates are converted to nitric oxide in the body, which is the secret to Superbeads activity. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeads.com. That's 800-738-2198, intelligentbeads.com.
Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today's discussion is about the book, The Microbiome Diet, by our guest, Dr. Raphael Kelman. And the book holds out the promise that you can change your gut and you can lose weight and keep it off. And there's in part one, we talk about some of the scientific evidence that suggests that that may not be mere wishful thinking. There's actually a great body of evidence that's accumulating that what's in your gut influences your metabolism and hence your weight. So the question that came up at the end of part one, Dr. Kelman, is there a probiotic? Because this would be the holy grail. You know, everybody's probably researching this like crazy because they'd want to put this in Dan and yogurt if it were to be the case, and it'd be a multi-zillion dollar scientific breakthrough. A probiotic that helps people lose weight, is that realistic?
Yes and no. On the one hand, like we said before, to really improve the microbiome takes a whole program, and it's not just taking a few supplements on top of a poor diet and not eating the right foods that really sustain the microbiome. We have to understand that the microbiome is a collective entity. It's a whole, and it doesn't operate independently. Parts don't operate independently in the microbiome. They operate as one collective whole. And there is no one healthy microbiome. There are many healthy microbiomes, we're not trying to make cookie cutters here. We're trying to improve the individual microbiome that's unique to the individual. And one of the ways of determining if your microbiome is healthy is by looking at its metabolites, its byproducts, what it's producing, what the compounds are that it's producing. Of course, how you're feeling, but not just how your gut is feeling, how your brain is feeling, and how your joints are feeling, and et cetera. But also looking at its effects on the metabolites of the host, of us, the human. And when those are all in balance, then you know your microbiome is healthy, even if it's radically different from someone else's so-called healthy microbiome. So that's number one. And in order to build and repair a collective whole microbiome, again, it's the diet, it's the microbiome diet approach, taking some of the prebiotics, which I think is so important, perhaps in many instances more important than probiotics. And after that is done, then you could start thinking about, well, what are the targeted probiotics that may help a specific condition to just refine the whole, to just make a slight change that will make this microbiome even more effective for a particular disorder.
I think the analogy might be is, you know, even if you have the best seeds in the world and you want to plant a forest, you know, if you sprinkle the seeds on the Sahara Desert, it will be for naught, you know. So you have to kind of create the environment that is receptive to these, you know, the beneficial flora that you want to flourish in your gut.
Exactly. You want it to grow endogenously, like just to emerge from deep within. And there are at least two probiotics that can be helpful for metabolism and weight loss. And one is Acidophilus gasseri, and it's been studied. It does seem to have an effect. I've been using it. Gasseri is the name. And then there's another one, Lactobacillus plantarum. But there's a specific species that of the Lactobacillus plantarum. I'm forgetting the number, because the species is also very important, but it's well known now that there is a specific Lactobacillus plantarum and that also has a positive effect. And rhamnosus can also help with lactobacillus rhamnosus, can also help with metabolism issues and weight loss. Probably Gasserai is lactobacillus gasserai is probably the most effective. Now, some studies do show benefit. Are they great studies? Have they been reproduced in many centers? No. These are not the type of studies that are going to convince the FDA. So even though there are some studies, and I describe at least one of them in the book, I don't think people should deceive themselves in thinking that, you know, you can just take a probiotic and it's going to be your answer. It's only going to be helpful if the foundation is improved and healed.
I thought you were going to offer us Dr. Raphael Kelman's special probiotic formula for guaranteed, you know, 40-pound weight loss in 4 weeks. But I
and
guess
happiness,
that's
happiness and eternal happiness.
Happiness immune competence and so on.
Right.
So clearly there we are. Your research is apace, and I think we're learning more about this. But I think it's overly simplistic to think that it's just a matter of taking the right pill to replace the bacteria in our intestinal tract. As you say, it has to be coming from the inside out. You have to create the environment and modify the whole gastrointestinal milieu to get things to grow right.
Yeah, it will become an added bonus if you do the basic work. Then you get the bonus. And the bonus is the targeted probiotics that are more likely to be somewhat beneficial if the foundation is set.
Talk to us about the role of fermented foods, because about a third of your book is recipes, and it includes recipes for live foods or fermented foods.
Yes. Well, look, fermented foods really are providing the probiotics, but it's providing them in a way that seems to be well received by the microbiome and the gastrointestinal tract. And kimchi is such an impressive food. It plays such an important role in the microbiome diet because it...
I have some sitting in my refrigerator as we speak.
Good
stuff.
It's great. And it really reduces your cravings almost instantaneously for other foods, for other unhealthy
Can you describe
foods.
What that is for our listeners who don't have a Koreatown in their local...
Right, but you can get it anyway. You don't have to go to a Korean neighborhood. You can go to Fairway or any of the Whole Foods, and you could pick up kimchi. And it's basically a number of different vegetables, that cabbage is one, that is fermented in a particular way, in a particular combination of vegetables. And the end result is a very tasty food, vegetables.
Sort of a condiment, like a side dish that you might have.
Yes. And you don't need to eat much of it for it to have a positive effect. A few tablespoons a day is great. And what it does is that it provides the friendly bacteria in a very palatable way, and it's providing the vegetables that are good food for the microbiome. And the results are really astonishing. There's a lot of studies on its positive effects on cholesterol, triglycerides, insulin levels. You know, many of the diets out there are the bottom line of many diets is that your insulin improves, the sensitivity of the cells to insulin improves, and then your body's not pumping out a lot of insulin, and too much insulin is what causes weight gain. Follow this diet, boom, 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 and everything gets better. The problem is it's difficult to follow that diet because you're craving those foods. Mm-hmm. But here's the advantage of the microbiome diet. The cravings end. Additionally, the microbiome itself will improve insulin resistance more so than any diet, any concocted diet, but by us humans. So leave it to the bacteria to do the work for you so that it can help you lose weight without the suffering from so many diets that tells you, reduce the carbs, eliminate the carbs, but you can't. You're craving them all the time because you don't have the help of the microbiome. If you have the help of the microbiome, it will lower insulin for you. It will make your cells more sensitive to insulin. Plus, it will reduce your cravings for the foods that you're fighting with.
Oh, that's very
well said. So it's a no-brainer.
That's very well said. And, you know, I think there's another line of evidence that supports this idea that the microbiome governs metabolism. And it comes to us from the world of bariatric surgery. Because yes. In bariatric surgery, you know, we don't know quite how it works. So people lose scads and scads of weight. And at first we thought, well, you know, it shrinks their stomach so they can eat less. Okay, that's true to some extent.
Right.
But, and it also decreases the absorptive surface, so you absorb less calories. Okay, that's true to some extent. But what it turns out to be is that when you create this blind loop in your intestinal tract, I don't even know what they do anatomically in this bariatric surgery, but they actually alter the microbiome.
That's
and
right.
It's actually been shown that by taking they've done some experiments where they've taken the changed microbiome without the gastric surgery and they put it into animals. The animals lose weight without the gastric surgery. So you can do it by reading the microbiome diet, or you can, you know, undergo arduous bariatric surgery.
That's right. Incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So there's also a section in your book, you take a little sideline, talking about the impact of stress on your microbiome. Now, how can stress possibly change does your nervous system talk to your bacteria and alter them?
Well, you know, the microbiome does not like stress. Unlike us who live here in New York City who thrive on stress.
Right, exactly.
Right? They don't like it. And they certainly don't like the type of lifestyle that so many of us have gotten accustomed to. What they do like is a certain peaceful environment. Not to say that you can't, you know, be stressed once in a while, but it's stress. It's kind of the pointless stress or the stress that you're not managing. It has a very adverse effect on the microbiome. However, stress that leads to some purpose and has direction and has a goal, and that's when it's accomplished, there's an improvement in a condition, in a situation.
Like a challenge.
Not, yeah, right, exactly. Then that actually is something that the microbiome thrives on, which is not yet, I haven't seen that in the literature. It's my own kind of clinical insight. So the stress that's pointless, that's not, that you can't manage, that can really affect the microbiome in a negative way. And it can change rapidly. It can change quickly. So we have to think about the stress that we're imposing on our microbiome, particularly the stress while we're eating. I would rather not eat than eat under conditions of stress, because you're ingesting a double-edged sword, because while you're gaining, you're eating, but you're losing so much if you eat under stressful conditions because of its adverse effects on the microbiome. The microbiome doesn't like it when you eat under stress. Again, it's a clinical insight. I'm sure one day studies are going to support this idea. So when you eat, at least, really focus on being in a calm, healing state. And remember, when you're eating, you're organically already opening up the parasympathetic system. That's the system in your brain and your body that focuses on calm, that focuses on eating and digesting, not on fight or flight, running away and trying to fight your way out of something. It's focused on the peace and equanimity, and so that's a good opportunity to stay calm and to stay focused, and in any state where the whole is not disrupted, you send the microbiome mixed messages, and the body terrible mixed messages when your body is getting into a parasympathetic state of calm, and you're throwing in these firebombs of stress. And the conflicting messages, the neurons fighting each other, and signals that are going in opposite directions, brings into the microbiome a state of confusion and disarray. So at least while you're eating, take advantage of that time to really tap into the parasympathetic system, so your body experiences a few moments of healing. It has a very positive effect on the microbiome. I hear this from my patients, from the advice that I give them, and it was originally on a theoretical basis, but I see it confirmed over and over again. So you can't get rid of all your stress, but you can at least temporarily suspend it, at least while you're eating.
Well, you know, experimental evidence supports the idea that animals placed under stress
they typically gain weight. And, you know, it's thought that this is due to the production of cortisol, you know, which is a steroid-like hormone, and steroids make you gain weight, but also maybe the microbiome is involved.
Yeah, I think it's very complex. Again, cortisol is one kind of a simplistic view that, you know, we've been holding on to for a while as a mechanism. And while it may be a mechanism, I think it's much more complex. And I think the microbiome's complexity plays a very important role in why you gain weight when you're stressed.
Indeed. So what does it look like? I mean, without giving away the goods, because you want people, obviously, to go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or whatever, and order the microbiome diet, which is available. It just came out recently, right?
Well, the paperback just came out.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. So that's available. So what's it like? I mean, what type of diet do people find themselves on with the microbiome diet? And are there different phases? Is it like a very stringent phase at first, and then once you're adapted, you can be a little more relaxed?
Yeah, exactly right. There are three phases. The first two are a bit more difficult, but not difficult because it becomes easy with the microbiome's help. The third phase, you can actually do whatever you want and eat whatever you want for 30% of the time. But most people don't. They're very happy with what they're eating, you know. So, yes, there are three different phases. But remember, some people need to stay on the first phase a bit longer. If you're having trouble and you're not seeing the results, which is rare, then go back to phase one and remember, stay on the remove component a bit longer before you introduce the prebiotics. And I could say, you know, to your listeners, like, go on Amazon, read the reviews. You'll see what people are saying about this diet and how much it's helping them not only lose weight, but to change their lives. It improves brain function, improves metabolism and their and mental energy and their psychological state, how they think, how they feel, skin issues, autoimmune disorders. It's quite incredible how much the diet can help if you tap into the power of our biochemistry, of nature, of an ancient ally that's as old as the human races, and if not older, you know, and tap into that power and you'll see, you know, real powerful medicine.
What are some of your favorite recipes in the book? Because you got some good ones there.
I love those recipes. I mean, they're not from me. We hired an incredible chef, and she experimented with these different foods, and they're winners. I love the Jerusalem artichoke recipes. They're delicious. It surprised me. It's incredible. The diet, the recipes are amazing. They're all there's a bunch of so many different salads with mango and other incredible tasty salads and fish and vegetables and some chicken dishes. It's really quite an extensive menu, and I think people will enjoy following them. A little bit difficult to follow at times, some of the menus, but they're worthwhile, and once you get the swing of it, it will be second nature.
And not a lot of deprivation and quite a lot of variety. So
absolutely.
So congratulations. I think you've really put across, it's a tough concept to put across, but I think you've done a great job synthesizing it and explaining it and motivating people because, after all, there are two aspects to people following a healthy diet. One is to, be healthier and achieve balance and longevity. And the other is to look good naked, right? So you got them, you got them on the hook with both.
Right. Hey, listen, Ron, it's not me. I didn't make up this diet. It's in the science.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's in the science.
It's a logical outgrowth of some of, the cutting-edge science. And you put it together in the microbiome diet. I want to thank you very much, Dr. Raphael Kelman.
Thank you.
And, it goes to prove that, Albert Einstein College of Medicine can actually graduate at least, talented physicians. Ultimately their reputation is vindicated.
That's right. Thank you, Ron.
Through our activities. Great. Thanks so much for joining us. And thank you, listeners. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.